more. Praise the Lord. We are careful, those of us that God is using, to make sure we don't take the people's faith away from the cross. Away from the Lord Jesus. And that is called seducing spirit. To take you away from where you are supposed to be and take your attention to some object, to some man. Praise the Lord. And that is leading me to the exhortation I want to give as I study the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are lessons to learn from the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, I'm telling you something, church. When I took time to study and God gave me inspiration, understanding of the lessons we are supposed to learn from the temptations of the Lord Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be humble. Fear gripped me. And as I try to look at the generality of the Christian faith, especially the ministers, I am telling you, most ministers are already off. Satan, they have fallen to the temptation of Satan. Many of them are on their own. We are calling them men of God, and God doesn't even know them. And this exhortation is why we should, is actually for the ministers. However, it is also for every child of God. Listen to that temptation. Matthew chapter 4, read it from verse 1.
Then was Jesus,
read it up to verse 11. Listen very well.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
Uh-huh.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God."
Mm-hmm.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Hallelujah. The three temptations, because of that, we will at least let's take the first temptation today. Take note. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," when he said he is the way, that is, he is the one that will show you how to serve God, how to fellowship with God, how to return to God, how to get back to heaven. He is the way. And that is why in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8, what is our destiny?
To be conformed to the image of
For whom
son.
He did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what?
To be conformed to the image of his son.
That
he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So what is our destiny? We are to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. We are to be like him. When God created man, he said, before he created, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Nobody understood what he meant by that until Christ came and Apostle Paul introduced him in that he is the Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, that he is the image of the invisible God. If he's the image of the invisible God, then we have a lot to learn from him. So that you understand why he said, if you see me, you see the Father. It's important, brethren, this world, the agenda for salvation is rounding up. It is no more time to play religion. The time this is my church has passed. You brag for the brand that you belong. Redeem. Winners. You know it's a brand. They have their time. They were raining. They rain. If you go to Abuja, you hear one church, Koza. You will hear very interesting theological and intellectual names, Koinonia. You will see, and they are, the brands are advertised. People advertise their church rather than advertising the reason for the church. It's so difficult to get people back to the true faith. Very difficult. Now, it has gone too far. Too far. I was sharing with Pastor Olumide this morning. Somebody called. Maybe you are watching me now from Owerri. Called me yesterday. You are worried. You know, God called me. I have a passion. God called me. And I just don't know how do I go about it. I am being disturbed by the job. I want to come out. I need counseling. I said, I'm sorry. I don't understand you. You have a problem with your mouth? You cannot talk? Oh, I don't understand. He said, go and preach the gospel. Are you setting up a business? Go and preach. You know, Sabi read. Then close your mouth. What are you preparing for ministry? Which ministry? You are preparing. I don't know how we go about. Go about to go and preach. How did you go about receiving salvation? It is because some pastors have, you know, made it look. This man here, I started preaching the second week I gave my life to Christ. What do you know you are preaching? How can you say, I don't know I'm preaching? I have an experience I'm sharing with people. That's the gospel now. I have an experience I'm sharing with people. I have a passion. I also had a passion. I felt that it was sin if I did not bring converts. I was not setting up a church. I was filling the church. No week without me getting convert. No week. I would pay as if I've committed an abomination. Hey, from Monday to Sunday, you didn't. But the Bible says we are the light. Where did I shine my light this week? All of them, all the churches I left, they would testify. I didn't wait for anybody to give me recognition. Pour oil on my head. This man here, nobody pour oil on his head. Not that I refuse, but I didn't see anybody to do it for me. Because the people that should have done it, I was disagreeing with them. They were doing like this with the gospel. I said, no, it's contrary to the Bible. Now those ones go pour oil for my head. But Jesus himself poured this oil on my head by himself. That's why I speak confidently without recourse to any man. Why did that brother get confused. And all of you that are still confused, go call me. Anywhere I go, go call me. Pastor, how am I to go about it? It's because the impression you have is that you are going to set up a business. You are looking for a sponsor. This church has had no sponsor. They were lucky we started in my office. So I was paying the rent. When it was too much, we became too many for the church. I mean, for the space we had. We started three of us. Our families came join later. So we made the bench. Made the bench. We go container. Small time. Too much. People were sitting outside. Then the neighbors started saying we're disturbing them. I didn't go anywhere, not by themselves, the thinking by themselves. When the inconvenience was too much for all of us, everybody began to go look for where we could move to go. So they got where we went. We moved there. All this headache. I need money. I need a sponsor. Sponsor what? It is because the idea has been put in us that the preaching of the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, when they left, who was sponsoring them? And then we are preaching all over. One day, 3,000 people were believed. I said this. When you meet some of these pastors who package themselves to make them look bigger than you, to make them look more anointed than you, to look more special than you in the scheme of salvation, they deceive us with the kind of lie stories they tell about their spiritual exploits. He's a liar and you don't know. So that you will see them as some great people. Great people. There is nothing I have that is more than what you have. The only thing between me and you is knowledge. Some of you, knowledge. There's something I know that you don't know. And that is why I keep sharing it with you. To let you know that there is a grace you have that I don't even have. There are some of you that can pray better than me. Pray and get results. There are some of you that are more spiritual than me. I'm saying it with all humility. I know what I'm talking about. That you don't even know. You keep your own aside and look at another person because he stand here, they talk with microphone. And only God knows who is who among us. There are some pastors that God has finished with them, concluded with them. He's only using them as a borrowed vessel, and people don't even know it. Me here, I will not be a borrowed vessel. This heaven, I will go. Do they hear me now? How many of you hope to go to heaven? Thank you. If we go to heaven, just look around, you will see me. And I will make sure I see all of you so that you will not say I come. You don't hear me now. But if you look, you don't see me. Not be heaven you go. Now hell you day. Because I will be there. And I'm doing all I can to be there. And when I go there, I know what will happen. Knowledge. I will meet the Lord. And he will ask me to give account of the ministry he gave me. And I'm not going to give him testimony of how many people we are healed in my ministry. But how many people I led to him and he gave them eternal life. I know that. I know that. I know it. That is why he told me the very year this ministry started that anywhere I go and his seed is there, he said, you will give them the Holy Ghost. And that is why every program I go, including the one we shall do in Akwanga this week, we end the program with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you will see practically people receiving experience. I was sharing a testimony with, a sister was sharing a testimony this morning before I came here. Where are you there? She said, her there. So that they will know I'm telling the truth. Wave your hand and see you where. For choir stand there. Yes. She was in an inter-message church. She said I was invited there to worry some 2017 or so. And of course, they were not having that experience there. And that when I went there, it was there in that program she received the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Joy Christopher in the IT department. She said in another program, which year? Is she around? Joy Christopher. She said in Abuja, that's where I went. In the program, that's where she also received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is where my joy is. And there are many people sitting down here. It was either you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost or you receive the gift, the anointing. Your gift began to manifest after you came to this ministry. Are they here today? Is there anybody that received the Holy Ghost in this ministry? Just wave your hand. It's to the glory of God. Eh? Do you know who you are? You are the jewels in my crown. Amen. Nobody is going to ask me what was the size of your church. Nobody will ask me, was your church air conditioned? Was it big? Is it only 50,000 people? Nothing like that. We'll not give account of the buildings we had. God didn't send us to build any church building anywhere. God told us to win souls for the kingdom. Praise the Lord. I have to say all this to understand the impact of this study we want to go into. Because you will notice that what happened to Jesus is what every child of God will go through. That he might be the first among many brethren. He is the first begotten from the dead. Jesus is the way. So whatever he came to do on earth here, he came to show us how to do it, including the rejection of the temptation to make wealth. We shall get to that. But for now, I want you to note that your ministry will begin only after you have received the Holy Ghost. As soon as Jesus came out of the water, amen. You see the way it went. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17.
And Jesus,
listen very well,
when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water.
Uh-huh.
And lo, the heavens were opened unto him.
Uh-huh.
And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Uh-huh.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying,
everybody saw it.
What this it? Is my beloved son, uh-huh, in whom I am well pleased.
Everybody saw it and heard it. He was announced that he is the beloved son of God. As soon as you enter that water and you come out, it is declared in the spirit that you are now redeemed. However, praise the Lord. The spirit coming there is the Holy Ghost. And that's why some of you come out of the water, you have an experience until everybody will see the manifestation going on. After that, gifts will begin to manifest in your life. Listen very well. But after that, now chapter 4.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit.
After he came out, the next thing, after the water baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit came upon him. What? Eh?
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
He did not go in. It's not the devil that attracted him. Oh, devil there on his own. Oh, but God decided to expose him so that Satan will tempt him. The true confirmation that it is the Holy Ghost you received is what the test you will have after you have received what you believe to be the Holy Ghost. you must be tempted. God designs it like that. The purpose of the temptation is what you see in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father.
You must be trained. And one of the teachers that will train you is Satan himself. If you are able to defeat him and scale through the temptation, it is there you are qualified for ministry. It is there you are qualified to stand boldly and talk about the gospel. It is then you are qualified to stand boldly and say, I am a Christian. Don't say you are a Christian yet because you've started speaking in tongues. Because you started casting out devils, started seeing vision. Wait. The spirit that you receive will be confirmed. That's the truth. And it was God that led him. God, that spirit that you received will lead you for perfection. That spirit that you received will lead you. And where did he lead him to? It led him to the wilderness. Why is it called wilderness? Wilderness is a place of helplessness. Wilderness is a place where you can't easily get what you're looking for. You can't get water to drink. You can't get every... You are on your own. God himself steps aside and leaves you on your own, surrounded by lack. You lack everything. You lack... This is the reason why immediately you give your life into Christ, certain crises begin. All that loved you before cut off from you. Oh, even your place of work, they are attacking you left and right. Your business will soon suffer no sales again. You say, what is happening? And some of you will say, now that church where they go, since I started going to bride, now I begin to experience this and that. I was there for Catholic. Nothing like this. Oh, it is your wilderness. All your friends will forsake you. The disciples say, we are forsaking father, mother everywhere. They actually forsook. They were rejected. You will be rejected. Because your type of friends that you used to have, we see that you are changing you, they will cut off from you. Where you used to have help, your brother, that every time, prayer, even your father and mother, this is your prayer, too much. I stop it. If you don't wear trouser, I will not pay your school fees. Now the person will pay your school fees without you. Your husband said, go. That's why I said, I don't want people going to do all these funny churches. Why are you dressing like this? Why are you no more painting your face? Why are you no more? Why are you no more this? Why are you not? And the wilderness without you. And the wilderness without you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when Satan saw him, Satan did not go immediately. He came out of the water. He waited for 40 days of suffering. 40 days and 40 nights. He made sure he was very, very hungry. And this hunger in the wilderness, no water, no food, no helper, nothing, forsaken. He will wait until you are in your worst moment of depression and frustration. That is when he will come. He doesn't call, boo. He will begin to drop this still small voice. Inside of you. I went on a dry fasting with a brother one day, the third day of our dry fasting. He said his body is talking to him. I need food. He said it was speaking with a voice. I need food. I say, answer him and say, you will not get food. You will not get food tomorrow. You will not get food. He said, no, I can't. Oh, I can't. Oh, I can't. Oh, I can't. Oh. He said, I can't. Oh, brother, you carry my dead body. Oh, you carry my dead body. He was crying with tears. I never do this kind of thing before. No, 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 no. I say, you have fallen from grace. It's okay, just let me take something. Let me take, okay, ordinary water. Ordinary water. I said, take water. After water, just small bread. Can I add small bread? Hey! Satan will wait until through. Even to have money to eat, you will not get food to eat. No transport to do anything. Your shop closed, the market not to come again. Then he will not come. Praise the Lord. Then he will apply one of his devices. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, what did he say? What did Apostle Paul say?
Lest Satan should get an advantage of
us. He will get an advantage of us. Advantage, because you know, we're in a vulnerable situation now. This is the time to tempt. Satan does not tempt anyhow. He said, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So let's look carefully again at the first device he used. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. That is the first temptation. That is the first device. Listen.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered.
Verse 3 again.
And when the tempter came to him, he said.
What did he say?
If thou be the Son of God.
If you are truly the Son of God, do what?
Command that these stones be made bread.
Because, say you say you have an anointing. Say you have an anointing. Say you say have grace. Say you have. That was the first thing he did. That was the first temptation. If thou be the Son of God. But the heaven has already announced who you are. Why are you then challenging him if thou be a Son of God? And what was actually the aim of coming through this way is to make Jesus satisfy his hunger by disobeying God's word. The wilderness journey, as an example. The wilderness journey. He is trying to use him to disobey God's word. So that what is expected of him after that wilderness, he will not get it. So that the call of Jesus, it will not be fulfilled. What he does, and many men of God, many of us Christians, when we reach that stage, you begin to think inside of you, make I not die for nothing. It's grace now. Which one be all this one? Which one you have? You use what you have to get what you need. That is what has given birth to funny ministries. Hunger. They are set up driven by hunger. They start and they discover that they can't continue anymore. But they have the grace. If your motive for ministry is so that you will get food to eat, you have somebody that will pay you school, your children's school fees, pay your house rent, buy your car. It is very easy to know them. Listen to their testimonies. Praise the Lord. When we started ministry like this, I was riding bicycle. But now I have a private jet. Is that the testimony of a pastor? Is that the testimony of a minister of God? Is that what God called us to do? Is that the reason Jesus went to the cross? All these unbelievers that have private chests, now Jesus give them, a ministry give them. Of course, you can be a pastor and own a private jet, but that is not associated with ministry work. God bless you, you have it. Praise God. Makes movement for you easier. But that is not why you brag with. You brag about what? Shoe? Designer cloth? You brag with it? That is evidence of your success? The money you have? That is why I say when I looked at this temptation, fear gripped me. Because he who thinks he stand, take it lest he fall. How am I sure he never get me? I began to look at my life again. Have mercy, O Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What is the device he uses? He will use doubt. To think that you will just die in the wilderness. So God called me that I should take over Ijesha. Take over Lagos. But how can I take over Lagos when I don't have money? How can I take over Lagos? If I go and preach and I'm hungry, people will not listen to me. They will say, see, hungry man, which God did they talk about? They will make you to doubt. And sometimes even doubt your experience, whether this God is real or not. It's true. And so, you will not be tempted. The temptation of Jesus, right? The first temptation is to use the anointing and get food to eat. Is to use the anointing. That is the first temptation. Is to make you use the gifts that you have to have food to eat, to satisfy the hunger that was disturbing you. But what verse 4 of Matthew?
But he answered.
What was his answer?
It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Always note, every one of us that is gifted, every one of us that is gifted, I have told you this several times, all the ministers, that the gift you have is not for you, it's not for us. The anointing that we have, God gave us to meet the needs of other people, not to meet your own need. Primarily, if you do anything contrary, you have disobeyed God for the reason why he called you and gave you that gift. You catch this, you be careful. You won't specially minister to somebody because you know he has money. The one who don't get money is wasting your time. You be careful. When your attention is needed, you choose who to minister to. You can travel to a billionaire's village to pray for his mother. Because you know the outcome that will come if you travel. But your poor brother and sister that is sick at a go hospital, you cannot go and visit them and pray. God will judge you for it. You are using that grace in disobedience. That is Satan pushing you into it. We must resist it. We must resist it. The reason why God gave me the gift is not so that I will eat with it. Although there will be provision for me to eat with it, to eat when I'm serving, but that is not the purpose. That is not the purpose. After all, if I'm not alive, will God use me? So he will keep me awake, alive, alert. But take it, that is exactly what Satan, the first stage of the temptation of every believer. This is what I'm telling you. Beautiful girl like this, and everybody deserts you because you won't open your leg. And he will come and meet with you. Just open the leg now, it's grace. And get what you are looking for. You say, Father, you have mercy, I don't suffer, I don't suffer. Then you open your leg, you are finished. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And why will Satan say, if thou be a minister, if thou be, the anointing we receive, the sonship, my sonship of God, that I am a child of God, is not validated by any human being. Are you hearing me now? Let me not prove to you that I am a son of God. I am already a son of God. I don't have to prove it. Don't tell me that I should use the anointing to confirm that I have a call of God. I already have it. And when it is time for that call to manifest, you will see it. Nothing to brag about it. Nothing to brag about it. And many of us make that mistake, including me. I've made that mistake several times, but the mercy of God still came down. Young man went for a crusade. And rain want to fall. He said, everybody keep quiet. I want to tell you that I'm a prophet of God. If I tell this rain to stop and it doesn't stop, I will stop preaching. In the name of Jesus, then the rain start. E-bitamo, scatter plus breeze, microphone, everything scatter. It was after that he became humbled. He's still a preacher. I say I have done it before. Though it never failed, but I will not do it again. After this study, somebody died. I say if he doesn't come back to life, I will resign as a pastor. But the only difference between me and many people is that God himself knew I meant it. God himself knew I meant it. So I was not doing it for show off. It was actually in frustration. Why will I be from morning to night praying for people there in my own house, my own daughter will die? I said, that means I'm not called now. And I said, we count 1, 2, 3, 4 after praying for hours, but it don't cold all. We're about taking herself to the mortuary. And I said, everybody stop crying. If I count 1, 2, 3, 4 and I shout, come, I don't come out. We must not do things for vainglory. And when I spoke that, I come out my cloth. I crazy with that. It was not for show off. It was from frustration. So maybe that is why God honored it. I call her name and she came back to life. She's still alive till today. But I should not do it. I won't do it again. Father, thank you. You didn't disgrace me that time. If you do it, God will disgrace you. Because that is not the purpose of the anointing. To prove to people that you are a Christian. Don't prove to anybody. Live your life. Live your life normal. Normal. Let your testimony show you are a Christian. Not what you boast of. Don't go. Don't go and look for trouble before a shrine. I say, I want to prove to that shrine that I am a child of God. He go prove to you, say, he be shrine too. God didn't send us to go and make a show. Make a show. Don't do that. Be humble. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is not you. The evidence that I am a son of God, if thou be a son of God, the evidence that I am a son of God is the ability to obey God's word. The ability I have to obey God's word is the evidence that I am a son of God, not the anointing. That is where righteousness comes in. That is where righteousness comes in. The ability to obey the word of God. What did he answer him again? In verse 4.
It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone.
You will not live by bread alone.
But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of
Jesus
God.
Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 3. Read it.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart. To humble thee.
Verse 2, start it again.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness.
Listen very well. What was the purpose? In the wilderness, what is the purpose?
To humble thee.
To humble you.
And to prove thee.
To prove you.
To know what was in thy heart.
To know what is in your heart.
Whether thou wouldest keep his
commandment. Whether you will keep his commandment.
Or no.
Or not. Verse 3.
And he humbled thee.
And he really humbled them with hunger, with everything.
And suffered thee to hunger,
yes.
And fed thee with manna,
uh-huh.
Which thou knewest not,
uh-huh.
Neither did thy fathers know,
uh-huh.
That it might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord.
By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is what will give us life. That is what will give us life. We are to depend on God and God alone for our sustenance. As we concentrate on what he has called us to do. Depend on him and him alone. Look up to him and him alone. Don't be distracted by the attractions around you. By the taste around you. By the smell around you when you are hungry. Concentrate on what he has called you to do. And when you are hungry, he who calls you is who you should go to. Call upon him. Call upon him. And that is why he sent them manna. Manna from heaven. They were eating food they did not buy. Crops they did not cultivate. They were not paying NEPA bill in the wilderness. The presence of God was the light in the night. The sun will not smite them by day because his cloud of glory prevented the rays of sun from hitting them. They were to depend on him and him alone. What is our food? This is what Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 4 in his discussion with his disciples. Verse 28.
The woman then left her water pot.
The woman, that is the woman of Samaria.
And went away into the city.
Yes.
And said to the men, come, see a man.
After he discerned her by the well. Yes.
Which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat.
But they knew that he was hungry. Master, do what?
Eat. But he said,
you know,
unto
they were
them,
together. Now they want chopper. Minister, are you hearing me? Now they want eat. But they say, Master, chop, because they know say. That's their own way of saying, if you follow this one, hungry, we fire you. Chop, that's what I want to go eat. Because a true disciple will follow the master. When he eat, you eat. When he's walking, you walk. Amen. So they are coming. You are coming to remind Jesus, Master, eat now. Master, eat now. We no go chop. We no go chop. Praise the Lord. We no go chop. Amen. Be careful about the ministers that are working with you, Pastor. If we just do like this, money will come in, Pastor. Allow me, just give me Just give me 1 hour. Pastor, I will raise 50 million naira today, today, today. Just allow me. Just allow me. I have heard that in this ministry. What do you want to do? Just watch now. Just watch. I know what to do. They say, Master, eat now. Now you go remind out of for food. He answered them. Read on.
But he said unto them, I have meat to eat.
That I have a food that I am eating that you don't even know about.
Therefore said the disciples one to another.
See canal people, see their own.
At any man brought him out to eat.
Anything not bring food for this? Okay.
Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will
this
of him that sent me.
This is what gives me joy and strength. To do what?
To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
That is what I am busy doing, not food. My attention is not on food to eat. My attention is to do the will of him that sent me. That's where my passion is. Oh, food, athletics. It's disturbing. And that spirit has entered the church so much in this Laodicea. So much in this Laodicea. Just no one talk the experience why I get with some of the ministers when they travel with me.
Oh.
Some of them will choose the hotel. This kind of hotel. Which kind of food they deserve? Which kind of food? My junior sister is here. She was asking me, the money for the food for the ministers that will come for our Kwanga program, because she's going to prepare food for them. And I told her, I said, no, we're not going for food. Don't worry about food. There'll be no food. Don't worry. And she said, they already planned, you know. Everybody has come to register the type of food they want to eat. Oh. Some say, I hope there is kunu. I hope there is masa. All the northern delicacy, that is where their mouth they're hungry for. Missionary work, they're thinking of food to eat. Hey, yeah, Laodicea. So I told her this morning, I said, no, we're not going on holiday. We're going to walk. For 1 week, we will walk. Morning and afternoon and evening, we are going to walk. When we come back, we're not going to recognize us. So all of you going to Akwanga, no food. So don't go and disturb anybody. They never bring food. That they never bring breakfast. They never bring lunch. They never bring... Carry your food, go. If you must eat, carry handbag, carry kettle, carry anything where you go chop. No food. We are going there. We are ministers. I'm talking of ministers. In fact, all of us are ministers. We are going to walk. A pastor once visited one, they were telling me, they see the hotel, they put him. And then he said, when they went there, they said, me? Stay this type of, you people are not serious. Laodicea. They told me what they go through anytime they invite a minister. They prepare, they have given it one name, honorarium. When they come, you must raise offering for them at the end. Years back, a pastor from the east came and said, you know, what I do is I go from church to church, and then when I finish preaching, whatever they gather for me, that is what I've been living on. That's why I say, can I come to your church to minister? That is why you make your living. This gospel. There's a song in our Imbu that said, it's dripping with blood. Yes, it's dripping with blood. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. The blood of disciples who've gone up before. This Holy Ghost gospel. It's dripping the blood of disciples who died for the truth. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. What did the first stanza of that song say? The first one to die for this Holy Ghost plan was John the Baptist. But he died like a man. Then came the Lord Jesus, the crucified him. He taught us the Spirit who saved men from sin. Oh, it's dripping with blood. Yes, it's dripping with blood. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. The blood of disciples who died for the truth. This Holy Ghost gospel. That was Peter and Paul and John the Divine. They gave up their lives so this gospel could shine. They mingled their blood like the prophets of old. So the true word of God could hallelujah, it's dripping with blood. Yes, it's dripping with blood. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. The blood of disciples who died for the truth. This Holy Ghost gospel. He made them so angry, they touched his head in, but he died in the spirit, and gave up the ghost, and went to join others in the life-giving home. Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. The Lord disciples who died for the truth. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood.
The souls under the altar crying, how long for the Lord to punish those who've done wrong? But there's going to be more who will give their lives blood for this Holy Gospel and His crimson flow. Hallelujah, it's dripping with blood. Yes. Oh, it's dripping with blood. This Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. Oh, the blood of disciples who died for the truth. This Holy Ghost gospel. When he wanted to introduce grace, did he use a man that dressed in designer clothes? John the Baptist from the wilderness came might look very odd. These days, you think that it is the type of clothes you wear, the designer car you drive, that will make people listen to you. From the wilderness, oh, he dressed in camel skin, skin of animal. That is what he came preaching the gospel, and they were rushing to give their lives to Christ. You see what we're going through? Don't let the devil make you to compromise your faith for any reason, for any reason, for any reason. Take consolation on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Take consolation. No matter what you are going through,
there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Oh. But we will the temptation also make a way to escape.
He will not forsake you. You can't stand for the truth and regret it. No matter how he harass you, now that you have found the truth, stay with it. If you will lose your husband, let him go. If you lose your wife, let her go. Stand for the truth. Stand for the truth. If you lose your job, let it go. Stand for the truth. Don't compromise. You see your estate. You see your... If you will go and sleep in the garage, inside the car somewhere parked, under a bridge, go there and sleep rather than compromise the faith that we have. That's the truth. Every temptation is after your call. It's after your call. It's after your call. So that you will not enjoy redemption. You will enjoy fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Remember, he promised that he will not forsake us. He said, "Lo, I am with you all the way. All way. That's why Jesus Christ said, remember Lot's wife. What was disturbing Lot? It was a temptation. That demon was ministering. See the things you are leaving behind. See where you are going. You are going to start life all over. See where you are going. You don't even know. See the position that you occupy in Sodom. See what you are leaving. I'm going behind. And the same thing in the wilderness. Little thing. They could not see Moses for some time. They began to think of where they are coming from. They began to think of cucumber and garlic that they were eating under slavery. Is it better than what they could not understand, the wilderness journey? That was the position of Lot's wife. And you saw how she ended. She could not make the promise. The promised land. Moses went to come back. He was not going forever. Forever. He's coming back soon. Israel, why are you grumbling? This Jesus is coming back soon. That's why Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 10 had to give us this admonishment as I round up. From verse 35.
Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward.
There is a reward for the stand we take. Listen. Is a reward. Go ahead.
For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come.
He will come. Moses has not gone forever. Israel, he will come back. Be patient. Jesus has gone. He's coming back. Be patient. He's coming to take us home. Even after the temptation, he is coming at the end of the temptation. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Weeping may endure for a night. He promised joy in the morning. Go ahead.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
He will come. He will not tarry. Go ahead.
Now the just shall live by faith.
Listen very well.
But if any man draw back.
If you draw back like they did in the wilderness, they never reach the promised land. As Lot's wife did. If you drop back, what will happen?
My soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Uh-huh.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
We are not of them. The grace we have should not make us turn back. There is a grace. There is an empowerment we have. We cannot drop back unto perdition.
But of them that believe.
We are of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
We are to believe to the end. We, our vow with Jesus is for better, for worse. And at the end of that temptation, verse 11, Matthew chapter 4.
Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto
and
him.
And it was after they now came. Amen. Minister strength to him. Minister all you need. Minister the food you need. Abundance. Abundant. Everything. You now have abundance. And above all, you are now qualified to be given unlimited power. And it was only after that that you see in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. At the Mount Transfiguration, that was the adoption. What did he say?
While he speak, behold.
Listen, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, what did he say?
And lo, a voice from heaven saying,
what did he say?
This is my beloved son, in whom I am well
pleased. He only announced him. Then the temptation started to qualify for verse 5 of Matthew 17.
While he speak, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Uh-huh. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.
What should you do?
Hear ye him.
Once he speak, it is after that he say, I and my father are one. Amen. He said, my father heareth me always because I do the things that are pleasing before him. Before you can come to an estate where you can speak and heaven will back it up, you must undergo some trials. You must have a history of overcoming the devil. And many of us are not able to move forward because there are three temptations, so this is just one. If you escape one, there is another one that is waiting. You escape the second one, you may not escape the third one because that is where many have fallen. But some just this first one, itakata, Satan doesn't waste time going with the second one. He has already got to you. Don't compromise the gospel for any reason. Nothing in this wide world can be compared to what is waiting for us if we endure to the end. It is only those who endure to the end that receive the crown. Brethren, we are going to receive a crown that Satan can never smell. He doesn't want you to get there. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
It will be worth
it. It will be worth it all.
When we
it will be worth it all.
Jesus, life trials we seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will raise. So bravely run the race till we
we tossed and driven on. No human help inside, but there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to Him in prayer.
Storms forever past. We will cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, our heart, our whole our crown. The day we will lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we like trials will seem so small.
Way of life. Jesus remains the way. Don't look at your pastor as the standard. Look at Jesus. Do you know that he said, if you will follow me, you should do what? Pick up your cross. You must have your testimony of what you overcome. It is the testimony we will give when we will meet him. We will tell the story how we overcame. He too will tell you the story of how he overcame. And he will show you the mark. You will show him your own. How will we know this is the Jesus that died for us? Somewhere in the shadow. If you want to see Jesus, he will show you. He will show his people. He will show Israel the mark. You too, you will show him your cross. All of you that don't want to suffer, but you want to go to heaven, you can never go to heaven without the cross. Oh. Okay now.
He's the one who all wickedness and on those days standing so in the shadow.
And
you will know him by the nail prints
in his hands.
I should know him.
To eat. That's why when we sing, he takes a beggar. Oh, everybody will enter spirit. That makes him a king. When we sing that song, Sister Joy is recomposing that song. And very soon, another version of it will come out. He takes a sinner and makes him a saint. We are working on it. He takes a sinner and makes him a saint. Sister Joy, when will he be ready? Where is she? Where is she? When will he be ready?
February
February end. Just working on it. He will not only take a beggar, make a king. He also takes a sinner and makes him a saint. Don't forget that. Praise the Lord. Just 1 minute prayer point. See me through, Lord. Help me. Help me through. Give me that overcoming power. Let me never be defeated in any temptation. While you remain standing, please, 1 minute, take that prayer. Take that prayer.
There is a race I must run. There is a victory to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. There is a race. There is a race.
Our prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, may the Lord answer our prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. We are closing. After the announcements, we will anoint everybody as we enter the new month. And while we're doing that anointing, you want to pay your tithe, please feel free to come to the altar and drop it. As our custom is.
I'm pressing on.
Come to the pulpit. I'm sorry. That denominational hangover, the worries. Come to the pulpit. Always correct me till. Don't worry, 1 year from now we'll be used to it. All these years.
I'm pressing on.
Want to pay your
tithe? The upward way. New heights I'm gay. In every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on there. On higher.
Put your hands together for the living God. The temptations of Jesus Christ. May the Lord give us power to overcome in the name of Jesus. Please bear with us. We'll be anointing everybody, but before then, let's just have these few announcements and written testimonies. The family of Sister Onye and family are thanking God for adding a glorious year to the entire family, and have enclosed the token of 50,000 naira. Sister Onye and family.